You'll notice our topic for the morning, these brief few moments, is a strong link, and I'm drawing it from that ancient philosopher who wrote the book we refer to today as Ecclesiastes, the preacher, and it's from the fourth chapter. It's actually, if you looked in your pew Bibles, it's under the heading, Value of a Friend, and I'll be reading the 9th through 12th verses. I invite you to listen for the Word of God. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I would suspect that many, if not most of us, have some object in our homes which we would consider to be a family heirloom. Something which has been handed down from one generation to another. My great-grandfather, Lou Williams, Jr., native of Cincinnati, Ohio, that's why I'm a Reds fan today, because when I was a kid, we'd go up there once or twice, every other summer or so, and we'd always go to a Reds game. He was an engineer, a graduate of Purdue, and he liked to make things. And anyway, we have in our possession at our home here a small lamp he made, and as well as a little wooden hand truck, which he crafted, spent time crafting himself. And these items are very precious to me, and I will always take special care of them. I suspect each of you, or most of you, could recall a similar tale. And these items, whether it's a quilt, or a painting, or a small hand truck, have been handed down from one generation to the next. When Granddaddy Williams and then Grandmama Clara died, decisions were made as to the disposition of their material possessions. What would be kept? What would be given away? What would be sold? What was meaningful and precious? What was useful and what was not useful? And so on. And I suppose the items went first to my grandmother, and then to my father, and eventually have found a home with Teresa and myself. And for a while, the family members I mentioned, my dad, my grandmom, had stewardship of these pieces of furniture, these heirlooms. And though technically, I suppose now I own them, in a sense, I don't really feel like I do. I truly believe that I am simply taking care of them until I pass them on to the next generation, our son Richard, or if he has kids, his children, or if they don't want them, a niece or a nephew or something. They will then become stewards of Granddaddy Williams's handiwork. Stewards. William Willimon, former dean of the chapel at Duke University and United Methodist bishop, notes that our faith is more than simply contemporary. He notes that Christianity, yes, is contemporary, but it is also a faith grounded in the past. We are encouraged and enriched by the words, lives, examples of the saints who have gone before us. We are stewards of what they have entrusted to us. Willimon suggests, and I love this description, which I have shared with you before, that the Christian faith is an extended dialogue with the dead, a conversation with the saints. True, we live in the present with an eye toward the future and try to adapt to a different place and time. But all aspects of our faith, our theology, our worship, our mission, our education, our spirituality are given shape and informed by those who have gone before us. Dialogue with the dead. Think about it. The writers of the Bible, in our case this morning, some ancient philosopher, are no longer living. Yet their words live on, and we posit in them great authority and import. And even our physical space, this very room, echoes with voices of past generations. Ministers, choir members, worshipers, brides, grooms, the bereaved, come here one evening when the sanctuary is empty and the lights off, and just sit. The presence of the saints in this space is sometimes almost palpable. And we have the privilege, the responsibility of taking these words and the best of the examples of those saints who have gone before us and build on their witness here in the present. What I guess I am trying to say is that I feel a responsibility to take care of that which has been entrusted to me, especially as it is a part of my family heritage. Now, to be sure, we didn't take everything from my great-grandparents' home. That would have been cumbersome and impractical. But we did take what was meaningful to us, helpful to us in connecting our past with our present and future. Indeed, I would go so far as to say that my attitude toward my heritage and history is reflected in my stewardship of those items I would consider to be beautiful and meaningful and useful, those family heirlooms. We have a precious heritage here at the First Presbyterian Church in Caldwell. As generations before us have bequeathed to us this building in which we worship, as well as many of the ministries which today we support. And as we build on their foundation, so we join their voices in lauding the mighty name of the Lord and declaring God's mighty acts. And in a real sense, just as my stewardship of those items entrusted to me reflects my appreciation for my personal heritage, so our stewardship today reflects our acknowledgement of and appreciation for those generations who have gone before us. For you see, we honor them and we honor God as we are generous not only in our stewardship, but in our attitudes, our compassion, our humility, our faithfulness. Our philosopher in Ecclesiastes notes how much stronger and more effective we are when we work together as opposed to being lone rangers. The author even mentions the strength of a threefold cord. All of us know how strong individual fibers become when they are wound together. They are much harder to break. The link becomes incredibly strong. So it is with you and me and our stewardship. This week, as you prayerfully consider what number to write on your pledge card or to email into the congregation, may your prayer be, guide my decisions about giving, so that I can be a strong link in the witness of this congregation. That's our challenge and our calling, to be strong links in our individual stewardship and in our common life together. Let it not be said of us as individuals, as a congregation, that we are weak links in this chain of our history. Rather, let our witness rise up to a crescendo which transforms our homes, workplaces, and communities, which changes lives into lives of compassion and beauty. May our zeal for righteousness and our deep desire to lift up those stuck in the quagmires of life resound in the community so that others might see us and say, see how they love one another and care for the community in which they live. Let us be a strong link. Let us honor those who have gone before us. Let us be faithful stewards now and always. Amen.